author, Royce Hudson, who is unfortunately not here today. He's in Lebanon as a visiting professor this semester. And also to thank our funding source, which is the Wayne State University School of Social Work. So how do I click forward? Oh, there it is. Okay. So in 2004, February 29th, 2004, there was a violent coup that overthrew the elected government of Haiti. Some people here might remember that we immediately sent troops to Haiti. And there were a number of reports that came out about human rights violations, murder, sexual assault, systematic, illegal and arbitrary detentions. And these reports were coming from NGOs and from the press, but there was really no reliable estimate on the number of victims or the identity of the perpetrators. So we decided to conduct a random survey of households in the Port-au-Prince metropolitan area. The survey presented a number of challenges, one of which is that we couldn't use regular sampling methods because there was no census list to draw from. There was no recent telephone directory or address list. So instead, we used a new method called random GPS coordinate sampling, and 1,500 GPS coordinates within the boundaries of the metropolitan Port-au-Prince area were randomly selected, and then we physically visited each location to see if it was a residence or a residence was in within a predetermined space, and then we randomly selected from within those. We eliminated the invalid and impassable sites, such as one location that landed on the airport runway, another one that randomly landed in water in the bay. I don't know how that got in there, but so we eliminated those. We came up with a final list of 1,389 valid locations, and at each one we visited a residence up to four times, and 51 of the households refused to participate in our study. 77, we couldn't locate an adult household member, and I'll come back to this number because it's actually kind of significant that we had 77 non-participating households because there was no adult household member present. And we removed one person from the data set because we provided medical care. We paid for medical care for her because she had been a victim of a sexual assault and needed to go to the hospital immediately. So we had a response rate of over 90%, and that was 1,260 households accounting for 5,700 individuals. And some of our demographic findings, we're estimating conservatively that there were 700 children in the Port-au-Prince metropolitan area, and our demographics were pretty much in line with what we hear from NGOs and service providers in the area, although, of course, there's no census to compare them to. Children, the situation for children is pretty bad. A lot of kids are not in school. Only roughly 16% of adults and children in the sample size, or adults actually in the sample size, had passed the secondary school exams. So there wasn't a lot of educational attainment. There was a lot of child labor. 35% of all children were working. And girls were more likely to work than boys. Boys were more likely to go to school than girls, and the common occupations included things like domestic servitude, selling in the market, working in laundries, shoe shines, car wash, working in factories, and the last one there is porter, which is the people that carry heavy things from the marketplace to people's homes. So overall, situation for kids wasn't that great. Students were less likely to be laborers than kids who were not students, and boys were more likely to be in school than girls. So in terms of human rights violations, and these are our findings overall, not just for children, and this will give you a sense of what the situation was like in Haiti at the time, and we just measured human rights violations in the 22 months after the departure of Aristide, so from February 29, 2004 through Christmas of 2005. So we found that crime and human rights violations were both very common, and this is pretty much in line with what we expected to find because in the midst of the coup, the national penitentiary, all the prisoners were released, and so there was a huge escalation in crime. We had heard that from in the press and from other people as well. We estimated 8,000 murders, 35,000 sexual assaults, 21,000 physical assaults, 13,000 arrests, and 11,000 kidnappings and extrajudicial detentions in the Port-au-Prince metropolitan area in the 22 months that we studied. One of the most shocking findings in our study was the rate of sexual assault. 35,000 sexual assaults were reported against, or were estimated against women and girls. And 4.6% of all the girls in our sample reported being sexually assaulted in the previous 22 months. Over half of all the victims in our sample were that reported sexual assault were 17 years of age and younger. And the sexual assaults that were reported were particularly bad. I mean, all sexual assault is bad, but over 90% included penetration, and that was penetration either digital, penile, or with a foreign object. And we're estimating that 19,000 sexual assaults of girls took place in Port-au-Prince during the 22 months that we studied. One group that was particularly at risk for sexual assaults was Restivex. Restivex are girls who, well, mostly girls, but also boys, who work as unpaid domestic servants. They are usually kids from the countryside that come to the city, and they live with a household, and they work in exchange for room and board. 36.2% of all the sexual assault victims, including adults, 36.2% were Restivex. So the crude rate is 5,209 per 100,000 Restivex per year. And compared to other girls of the same age group, the relative risk of sexual assault for Restivex was 4.5. Detentions and arrests were also fairly common. While being arrested isn't necessarily a human rights violation, obviously, when you see patterns of children being arrested and not being charged with a crime and not being allowed to see an attorney and not seeing a judge, then it begins to show maybe perhaps that there's systematic abuses of human rights occurring. So we estimate that 3,000 children were arrested during the 22 months that we studied. And of those, a pretty high number, 22.2%, were preventative detention, which is when a child is arrested, not charged with a crime, not even accused of a crime, but arrested because they might commit a crime. Maybe because they live in a poor neighborhood or their family's political or for whatever reason the police think they might commit a crime. And so they're held indefinitely in prisons, often in adult prisons. None of the children in our sample who were arrested with an arrest warrant. None saw a judge within the time that's outlined in the Haitian Constitution, which I think is 72 or 48 hours. A lot of children reported being held with adults in adult prisons. And for people from Lavalas and Les Poix households, which are, Lavalas is the political party that was in control of the government that was overthrown in 2004, and Les Poix is a political party that emerged that a lot of supporters from the Lavalas movement were part of. They were more likely to report being arrested. 3.4% is the relative risk when compared to people from other political parties. In looking at abductions and extrajudicial detentions, when we looked at arrests, those were arrests by police, by the UN, by American Marines, by government forces, or UN forces. Now looking at abductions and extrajudicial detentions, those are arrests or kidnappings by paramilitary groups or members of the demobilized Haitian military, which was demobilized back in like 94, 95, and they were involved in the coup and the overthrow of the government, and by private militias. So we're estimating about 1,500 children were kidnapped or detained or arbitrarily, illegally detained by these groups during this time period. So who was committing these human rights violations? Criminals were the most frequently cited perpetrators of all human rights abuses. There was just a lot of crime in Port-au-Prince during these 22 months. They made threats of assault, of death threats, sexual threats. They were responsible for property crimes. They were responsible for murder, for sexual assault, for all sorts of different things. But also we found that political actors were responsible as well. For example, police were cited as responsible for nearly 14% of sexual assaults. And armed anti-Lavalas groups, which would be like the people who did the coup, the demobilized military, were responsible for nearly 40% of kidnappings and extrajudicial detentions and something like, I think, 10 or 11% of sexual assaults. Other perpetrators included UN troops, troops from the multinational forces, which would be like the American Marines, members or supporters of Lavalas and a number of undisclosed or unknown assailants. So some of the limitations of our study. We only did households in the metropolitan Port-au-Prince area, and for people who are familiar with Port-au-Prince, there's our boundaries were Quadibouquet, Mount Boutillier, Kebukoff, and Carrefour. So we just did the urban area. We didn't do rural areas at all, and Haiti has a population of, well, they don't really know how many people live there, but they're estimating something like 8 million people, and Port-au-Prince is roughly 2 million people. So we really missed out on a lot of the violations that happened in the rural areas, which is where the coup started and took place for the longest period of time. Adult respondents were randomly chosen within the household, and they reported on human rights violations against all household members, including children. So some children might not have reported being a victim, and we know that, especially in the case of sexual assault, that women often don't report being sexually assaulted, and children often don't report being sexually assaulted. We had the 77 excluded households, which were the households we visited repeatedly and just never found an adult there. There might have been an adult household member, but we never located one, which meant that our estimates for the number of children are very conservative because all of those children are excluded from our sample. We didn't include homeless children, and some of the estimates about the number of homeless children, they're incredibly high, from 100,000 to 250,000 homeless children in Port-au-Prince. And we know from the media that there's been a number of reports of homeless kids being, you know, executed, set on fire, sexually assaulted by these groups that we studied. And we never got outside verification of the claims. This was just the respondent reporting, and we're reporting what the respondent said. And we believe that a lot of people probably, this is probably a conservative estimate, because some people probably didn't say what happened to them because they were afraid of the repercussions. At the time that we conducted this study, Haiti was still under control of the coup government, and the situation was difficult even for those of us who were conducting the study. There were a lot of roadblocks, armed individuals on the street, so some people might not have wanted to say what happened to them. So our conclusions were that the system, the situation for kids, really bad. A lot of kids aren't going to school, a lot of kids are working. Child laborers, and particularly rest of ex child domestic servants, are particularly vulnerable for all human rights abuses, but particularly for sexual assault. Human rights violations and crime were common against everyone, but also particularly against children. There's really a need to develop services to meet the medical, emotional, and economic needs of the survivors. There's very little out there, and in particular, when we're looking at sexual assault, there's very little in terms of HIV treatment for those who are now HIV infected as a result of being a victim of mass rape. And the justice system really needs to respond and prosecute those who are victimizing children. And in the cases where there is no law against what happened to the kid, there needs to be a law made against that.